sir. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you clearly, yeah.
Okay. We apologize for the delay. It's been a long day. We've had some hearings at Grand Lake. So can you state your name and ADC number for the record?
My name is Anthony Porta, ADC number 241084.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on April 24th, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
April 4th?
April 24th.
And that was the day of my arrest, you said?
No, that's the date that you signed the form notifying you that you're going to have a hearing.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing, or by me hearing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes.
I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. This afternoon, we're authorized for a two-member panel, as this is a revocation hearing. With me is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. He's our acting board chairman, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the hearing lead. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Grady, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Cota and Mr. Grady, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes,
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Cota, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Now, if you're unfamiliar with this process, between phase one and phase two, there'll be a separate vote before we pass to phase two, so don't be concerned at that point if it sounds like we're voting it. It's not the end of the hearing.
Okay.
When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, I do.
We are in phase one, and I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal ways or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number three, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at Traditions, 2429 West Vista Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about August 1st, 2017, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you have absconded from supervision. Mr. Cota, is this true or false?
Is that for me?
Yes.
That's true.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Cota's admission, I move to find him delinquent, as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have or have lapsed in criminal ways or company.
Second. Agreed. That's second.
It is second, yeah. Two-member panel, pardon me. Okay, seconded by Mr. Johnson. Mr. Cota, we're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing. It is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Grady, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, Mr. Cota, we'll come back to you shortly for questions and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. So, Mr. Grady, if you will.
Mr. Cota, released from DOC on July 31st of 2017. He was arrested on April 4th of 2018 by Tellison PD. He has no new charges. He returned back to DOC on April 4th of 2018. He has a CSED February 28th of 2019 that reflects 246 abscond days. Current conviction, 2013, burglary, second degree, 5 years. 2013, theft, 1 year. Prior conviction, 2009, theft, 1 year. 2010, aggravated assault, 2 years, 6 months. He has 3 terms of DLC, his CEIR score is a 3.3, mental health score is a 1, substance abuse score is a 3. He's affiliated with the street gang Mountain View Park. Prior term of supervision, 2009, TIS release, completed in 1 month. 2011, TIS release, absconded for 69 days, arrested and revoked by the BOEC. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs noted, other arrests, 2002, unlawful means of transportation, Arizona juvenile probation, 2002, unlawful use of means of transportation, Arizona juvenile probation, 2005, theft of means of transportation, Arizona juvenile detention, 2005, aggravated assault on a peace officer, Arizona juvenile detention. He's got a community risk score of a G8V9.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. Back to you, Mr. Porta. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you're released from the Department of Corrections to reside at Traditions, 2429 West Vista Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. According to our notes, you did not receive approval to change residence. Is that the only place that you lived when you were outside of prison, Mr. Porta?
No, it's not.
Where were you living, sir?
I'm always residing at my grandma's house, the place I pulled onto in 2011, 109 South 42nd Avenue, Tolleson, Arizona.
I was going to ask if that was in Tolleson. And did you work at all?
Yes, I did work.
Where did you work, sir?
I worked with my uncle, Otto Pito, he had a landscaping business. I'll be picked up on Temple Creek Freeway in Phoenix area, Brooklyn area. And he picked me up and I had to start at 7:00, and I got off at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Well, we certainly appreciate your hard work. Programming notes, you referred to task labs for your analysis. You provided zero.
Yes,
You're missing the whole time, so we don't really have any of your analysis.
Yeah.
It looks like that you referred to drug treatment through halfway house, so I will ask you, did you have some ongoing problems with drugs or alcohol?
No, I didn't have no drug problems while I was on the streets. I had my problem was my anxiety, dealing with parole or having a place to stay. I was overwhelmed, but when I got out of prison and stayed at the halfway house, I wasn't sure I was going to get the job or anything, and I gave up on myself, and I just took off walking one day and I didn't turn back around. But I know I was making a mistake, but I just kept on going. And then I ended up at my grandma's house, and at that time, my buyer family members helped me out and getting me a job and all that, helping me to turn myself in, but I just chose not to do so.
Okay, sir, so I think you've kind of answered the question already, but the first thing I would ask is what were you doing for the 246 days that you're missing? Now, I'll let you answer that, but it sounds like that you were living with your grandmother and working, is that right?
Yes.
Were you doing anything else?
Hanging out with a lot of girls, that's about it. That's as far as that goes, I knew I had to work for my arrest, so I was just on borrowed time, meaning just waiting for the police department to roll up on me and ask me my name, basically.
Again, I think you answered the question, but it sounds like that you had some anxiety with your return to the community and panicked. So you decided to break off contact with your parole officer?
Yeah. Is Ford present?
Yes.
Well, I spoke to him the first day. Only time I spoke to him, I told him I wasn't able to do parole because I felt like too much pressure on me. I don't know if I'm answering the question, but...
No, actually, I apologize. I was kind of getting ahead of you. It's just that you've kind of pre-answered some of the questions, so I'm almost kind of confirming that I understand what happened. Now, we don't press on this very much. I'll just ask, because you're still in your 20s, it looks like that you may have had some past affiliation with a street gang. Like, what's your situation like now?
The situation with the street gang?
Yeah.
Oh, that's my juvenile years. They still bring up that stuff, I don't know why.
Well, it gets in your record, or I'm sorry, your age record. It gets brought up. I don't assume that someone is involved in the street gang when they read it, especially when someone's a little bit older. I was just maybe asking more about the influence of the people that you're hanging around when you were on the street. There was a referral to drug treatment. So did you have a drug issue in the past?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And have you been staying sober, or what's your plan?
I have somebody pregnant out there now, and to me, it's a blessing at the same time. It's kind of like bittersweet, because my last three kids I ended up in prison while I was woman's pregnant, and then CPS gets involved because I'm not out there, and she's out there, I mean, doing drugs and stuff. And so I have three kids that got taken by CPS, and this baby that I have on the way right now, I'm kind of older now, so I want to work and just be there for this baby, and it's a blessing to me, but if I don't get out anytime soon, I mean, I hope she don't just end up doing drugs and lose the kids. So that's kind of the only thing I'm stressing out right now. So your question is, what I plan on doing, I'm kind of working and going to trade school, which you could put on my school records. I participated in Maricopa Skills Center back in 2012. So I want to get out there and start doing something with myself for this baby on the way.
Okay, Mr. Cota, I think it's really important that I say this. There's no telling how the board will vote today. We look at the totality of the case, and we have to make some hard decisions for Arizona. But regardless of what happens today, I hope that you will stick to that plan. It sounds like that you're beginning to turn the corner on your life. You're talking about trade school, wanting to be involved in this baby's life, hopefully have a relationship with the mother. So I'm just saying, we've got to make some hard decisions today, but regardless of what happens, we're talking about months here left in the correction system, not years. So please stay motivated. It sounds like you're doing some good things, okay? I'm going to ask my fellow board member if he has any questions for you.
No, I don't have any.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Okay, Mr. Cota, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? Really ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel you need to share?
Is there anything I gotta say?
Yes, sir.
To Fornes, I want to say I apologize. I didn't give the poor a chance, and he told me that he's not there to send me back to prison. He was there to help me, and every time I was on the streets, I always thought about that. And even if you guys revoke my parole today, I'll be okay. You know, I'll man up and get this 9 months out the way and get out there and provide for my family. But if you guys would take a look, have a little mercy on me and maybe give me the chance, I'd really appreciate that. But that's all I got to say.
Thank you, Mr. Cota.
Thank you.
Going into discussion now, it may sound like we're speaking with you directly, especially because we're on the telephone, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our vote? So if we just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
The board is now in discussion. For the board members, this is an unfortunate case. It sounds like Mr. Cota was uncomfortable with his transition back to the community. Certainly he was uncomfortable with community supervision, decided to abscond. I want to give him credit for being productive. It sounds like he was working with his family. I'd like to believe that he was staying clean, and I'm not trying to call him out. I'm just saying that we don't know any better one way or the other because he was missing. But I'd like to believe that he was staying out of trouble otherwise in terms of street crime or drugs. He did mention that he has a baby on the way. Certainly that is something that I have some empathy for myself. I guess my concern is that that when you look at everything put together, including a past period of absconding from community supervision and an earlier prison sentence, and disappearing from community supervision for 246 days with no contact with his parole officer, I'm not finding him a suitable candidate for returning to community supervision. He might be better off just finishing his time and coming out community supervision so that he can have that freedom of movement to work and to move on with his life. But that's the way I'm looking at it, and you may have a different opinion.
I absolutely had it not that this 246 days of Scotland may be a little bit different, but
well, we're going to make a motion and see where the votes land, and that is based on the information provided in warrant number 2017W2856. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Cota was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and that lapse was about to lapse, and promoted your company. Inasmuch that he disappeared from community supervision for 245 days and we could not account for his activity out in the street, I'd like to believe he was doing good, but we just don't know. So that's my motion.
Second.
seconded by Mr. Johnson. Okay, Mr. Cota, your supervision has been revoked, and you'll be released on or about February 28, 2019. Now, again, I recognize that sounds like a long time away, but as I stated during the discussion, it's a matter of months. So, again, I do have a heart here. I know it sounds like that a baby's going to be born while you're in there, but if you just stick to your plan, it sounds like you're hitting that stage of your life in your late 20s. I think we're ready to change things, and I'm hoping that you'll be able to maintain a healthy relationship with your female friend, that the baby's healthy, and that you'll be able to move on with your life and be a productive citizen. The ceremony is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and Mr. Cota, we appreciate it, and you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.